We welcome you again to a daily devotional on behalf of Bali Baptist Church. And we have been looking at Psalm 119 over the last few Saturdays. And today we conclude this series. We want to consider verses 73 through 80. And in some ways, this little section and what I hope to say this morning is a little bit of a recap on some of the things shared in recent days. So we're going to read from verse 73 through 80. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. In verse 73, the psalmist writes, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. This reminds us that our great God, he is the potter, and we are the clay. It's important that we are ever mindful of that. And here the psalmist says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. And this reminds us that we should be humble at all times in the presence of God. He is the creator. We are his creatures. A good number of years ago, before it sadly had to close, I often preached in Clough Baptist Church. And a dear old brother who was in membership there told me a story about a little boy in the Clough area. He went to school in Clough, and as was the custom back then, the children, as they did their RE at a certain time of the year, one of the local clergymen would come in to examine the children as to what they had learned from the Word of God. And one of the local ministers said to this little boy, Tell me, who made you? And he was a cute little lad, and he says, The same one has made you. And who was that? He says, God made you and made me. Very good, says the minister. Now, could you tell me what he made you and me out of? What did he use to make us? And the little boy, in typical Clark style, he said, Drugenstuhr, Drugenstuhr. Now, those who are maybe Ballymena born and bred would know what he meant by that. Some listening in today might not be familiar with that term. And certainly, when I think of the years I spent in England, if I had used that term, well, they wouldn't have had a clue what I meant. But you know, that's just what we are. Creatures of clay. Creatures of dust. And the Lord remembers that we are but dust. Unfortunately, we are apt to forget that. And we need to pray that we will be delivered from all the pride of the flesh. For we have nothing to boast in, save Christ and Christ alone. He must be all our boast. And as the psalmist approaches God here at the throne of grace, he asks for understanding. He says, Lord, I'm your creature. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And this is a humble confession that as a creature of dust, he in himself lacks that understanding of his Creator, and he knows that he has so much to learn. You find that proud people, they know it all, and they learn nothing. But the humble believer, asking God to be their teacher, that man, that woman, will learn of him in humility, learning, as it were, at the feet of Jesus. And so the psalmist here, he is mindful that God is his creator, and he wants to learn the commandments of God. And then he has this desire to be an encouragement to others. In verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And the favours and the blessings and the joys that we receive from the Lord brings joy to others. God's people were glad when they saw the psalmist restored from his backsliding and now reaping the benefits of a life of obedience and submission to the will of God. And we can rejoice when we see our brethren and sisters flourishing spiritually, get on with God, being blessed of God, and as we are blessed of God, living obediently before him, God uses that as a means of blessing and encouragement to others. And so David can say, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. They are no longer seeing that cold-hearted, backslidden man, but they are seeing one who is now placing all his hope in God and in God's word. A restored life and testimony will also challenge others who are cold and backslidden. If one is cold in heart and has lost sight of the Lord, well, as he or she is restored and the Lord restores to them the joy of his salvation, others who would be cold and careless are challenged through that brother or sister's testimony and revived walk with God. It's important that you and I would remember the backslidden in our prayers continually, as well as those who are still in nature's darkness, that we might have the great joy of seeing them in a right relationship with God. And the psalmist's hope in the Lord is a source of joy to God's people. And then in verse 75, he recognizes God's righteous judgments. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now here is one who is certainly not angry with the Lord. Indeed, he's considering God's dealings with his people, and he's saying, God's dealings with me and God's dealings with his children, well, they are always perfect. And it is sinful to suggest that God has ever treated any of us unfairly. If in the past week he has chastised you or me and rebuked us in one way or another, let us be ever mindful that he did this for our good, and he chastised us in love. And we ought also to demonstrate that same spirit of love when we are dealing with others. If we, who are parents, need to chastise our children, we should chastise them in love. If we are in dealings with our family members, we should deal in fairness and in love. To our brethren and sisters in Christ, others in the church, our dealings with them should always be in that Christian spirit of love. As God deals with us, so we should deal with others. And God chastens us in faithfulness. Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. God's word declares, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will always be truthful. A true friend will say that which has to be said for your benefit or mine in love and grace. And as the Lord would rebuke us, well, he is the friend of all friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. And his dealings with us and those chastenings of the Lord, he deals with us in faithfulness as well as in love. And then in verse 76, the psalmist in prayer prays wisely and prays correctly. He says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. And as you and I would face these days of trial and live with various restrictions at the present time because of coronavirus, the Lord is the source of our comfort. There are those who cannot get out to church. Those who indeed may still find themselves housebound, many restrictions at present placed upon them. And yet, here is the psalmist, and he says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort." He is plenteous in mercy, and due to the Lord's merciful kindness, we are comforted in life circumstances. In verse 77, he refers to the Lord's tender mercies. And he says, "Let these come unto me that I may live, that I may live out my days to the glory of God," that the Lord in his tender mercy will indeed watch over me, care for me, minister to my every need. And when we think of the tender mercies of the Lord, if these do not comfort us and sustain us, regardless of the trials, then nothing else will. Regardless of what might grieve us, his tender mercies will comfort us. And here is the psalmist, and he is delighting in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. In verse 78, he makes mention of the fact that he will meditate on the Lord's precepts. He prays against proud sinners who hate him without a cause. It is his prayer that they would be ashamed and confounded, that the Lord would deal with them, and that the Lord indeed would vindicate his cause. And so the psalmist can pray. And you know, David the psalmist, there were many who hated him. He had many enemies. But he just looks to the Lord to, as it were, fight his corner, deal with his enemies, confound them, and indeed, he prays that they might be ashamed, and that the Lord indeed would deal with them in accordance with his sovereign will. And in verse 79, he also prays for God's people. And so should you and I. He says, "Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies." David is praying that they will be blessed, the people of God. But he says, "Let them turn unto me." Now, David has been restored. He's now in that right relationship with God. And he says, "Lord, I want thy children, thy people, to feel welcome in my company, that I might be a source of encouragement and blessing to them." And that should be our prayer, that as we have fellowship with one another, that we might indeed be able to share in the things of God, that brothers and sisters who might need a word in season, a word of comfort and encouragement, would feel that they could come to you, come to me, to receive that word from the Lord in love. And then in verse 80, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes." Soundness of mind and heart. And I'm speaking now spiritually. That spiritual soundness in mind and heart is so important. That he might be sound in the Lord's statutes. And he is praying indeed to this end. He is praying here that his heart will be solid and sound in the things of God, that I be not ashamed. And the man, the woman, the young person, who has his or her eyes fixed on the Lord, that individual will not be ashamed. And indeed, as they focus on the Lord continually, they will not go astray. And the Lord will never lead or guide any of us contrary to his word. We need to always remember that. If you or I go off the rails, we cannot say, oh, well, the Lord directed me this way or that way. No, he will never direct or lead or guide you or me in any way that is contrary to his truth. His truth is the rule and guide of our faith and practice. And I think of the importance, as I finish, of waiting upon God, not just today, but in the coming days in his will. And we read, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's God's desire for you and me. And may we, like the psalmist, feed our souls on the Holy Scriptures. It's my prayer, as I said in earlier studies, that we might cultivate a taste and a love for this particular psalm, and every section of it makes reference to the Word of God, which was so important and precious to the psalmist, and should be precious to you and me also. May the Lord bless you for his name's sake. Amen.